Good morning.
Good morning, brother.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, I'll get us things arranged here for a minute. Did you get me at least a dollar? Snap. I tell you what, that thing has been a problem. It comes off all the time. Look with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua. Two chapters I'm going to look at a little bit. Joshua chapter 4 and Joshua chapter 24. And I was thinking, and if you have any of you name sermons, Me and My House. I like Joshua. And he speaks about me and my house. And so that's basically the start of my sermon, at least. After about 40 years in the wilderness, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Now you understand that if they just journeyed through the wilderness without being held up by God, they'd have been there in 2 or 3 months, easily. But He sent 12 spies throughout the land. And those 12 spies came back and only 2 of them said, "We can do it." Caleb and Joshua. And the other 10 said, "Oh no, no, they're too big. They got giants in the land and we got all these problems. We can't take it." And they didn't trust God and they didn't walk by faith. So they wandered around this area of desert for 40 years. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
And now then, they're getting ready to go in with Joshua. Joshua is going to take over from Moses. Now you talk about some people. I would not ever wanted to have Moses' job. He had a tough job, let me tell you. All of those people weren't real true believers. Some of them were just a mixed multitude of all sorts of things that went out with them when they went out of Egypt. And so, we've got some great men though. Moses is a great man, any way you look at him, with his sin, with his problems. Man, that man suffered a great deal, and to do the will of God, and just an amazing, amazing man. Well, Joshua comes along in the same vein. Joshua is a man that in his early years, he was strong, he was a fighter, he was a soldier, and when he went into the land, they didn't care if they had giants or had fenced cities or whatever. He said, "We can do it. We can do it." He and Caleb did. Well, the rest of them made God mad. They said, "We can't." And you know what God likes? He likes a little faith. You know what He gave you? He gave you a book. You know what He expects of you? Read it. And He expects when you read it, believe it. You got something you can believe.
Amen.
Now all the things on the news you can't believe.
Right.
All the things they tell you at college you can't believe. Well, I'll tell you what, all the things that go around in gossip you can't believe.
Right.
Have you got anything to believe? I got one thing right here. That's to believe.
Amen.
Amen. Hold them up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. On Joshua 4:14. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. How about that?
Yes.
You're looking for a little praise on great heritage and a great character and an obedient life to God Almighty, and He puts him right up there with Moses.
Yeah.
Here's Joshua, right up there with Moses. Well, you know, how did he get that? Well, what the story is there in Joshua chapter 4 is where they're crossing the Jordan River to go in and conquer the land. Now, when Moses performed the miracle of taking his shepherd's staff and pointing it out over that Red Sea, The Red Sea just divided and gave them a path. Dry ground. They walked across dry ground. I mean, I'm telling you, there was ocean on both sides. And when they got to the other side, then the waters came back and destroyed the army of Pharaoh. Now, if I needed anything to convince me that Moses was led by God, it would have been that. I wouldn't have had a doubt on him one end. Moses telling me to jump, I'd jump. Well, now what are we going to have right here? Where Joshua has gotten these soldiers ready to fight. Some of the 2.5 of the tribes decided they wanted to have their inheritance on the outside of the River Jordan because it was better for them than cattle. I'm not sure that was a good decision. But anyway, they made it, and God allowed them to do it that way. And Joshua takes them out into the priests, out into the middle of the Jordan River, and it says the Jordan River was stopped, cut off. Well, that's an awful lot like the Red Sea.
Yeah.
I would think that if I saw that, if you were one of those that, wow, look what he's doing, they'd say he's just about like Moses. I mean, the water stopped. And you know, they picked up a bunch of about 12 stones, had each one of the leaders of the tribes pick a stone up out of the middle of the Jordan River and pull it out on the Israeli side and put up a little stone monument there so they could tell in the day that was the day when God stopped the waters of Jordan and we walked in to conquer the land. Now you read in the book of Joshua, and Joshua shows the battles and the trials and tribulations and troubles that were there. But you know, he made a statement in verse 15 of chapter 24. Why don't you look at it? Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, there was always a division in it. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, and that's the way I title this sermon, Me and My House. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
What about your house? You got a Bible? Probably got a bunch. Since I buy enough to give away, I got a bunch of Bibles. You know what I do? I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. I got a couple of things out of my raising, and one of them was that the Bible was the Word of God.
Amen.
And it really was without error. Even if you didn't understand it, and there are a whole lot of things about God I still don't understand. I'm a little bit different than I was when I was a younger fellow when the Lord. I thought, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about this. I can't figure this one out. Boy, I'm not going to ask God about anything like that. It's going to be just way, way, way back down the territory. I'm going to fall down on his face and say, Almighty God, you are marvelous.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you realize how complicated your body is you're sitting in today? It is a self-healing body. And when doctors work with you and put some chemicals on you and do some other stuff like that and feed them to you, I've eaten a lot of chemicals. Never got drunk on the chemicals. But I've sure eaten a bunch of them. You know something? All it does is trigger things in your body for your body to heal itself. It's an amazing thing. I love this new telescope, and how someone asked him, did you find the end of the universe? Said, no, it's just a lot bigger than we thought. God keeps getting bigger in my mind.
Amen.
You think about all the different eyes. The eyes fascinate me. And think about all the different kind of eyes. There's a little bitty ant I killed in my bathroom this morning. He was a tiny, tiny little ant, and I just took my thumb and smushed him out. Can you imagine eyes that small? Wow! How about all the different birds and all their... Good night! The greatness of the creation of God Almighty.
Yes.
You think that's an accident from a golf ball?
No.
It doesn't come out of something like that. God Almighty created a great universe, and the more you learn about it, the greater He ought to seem to you.
Amen.
Well, Joshua had made a choice, and he tells you, choose you this day. He's getting ready to finish his life. He's finally gotten old, and he's conquered the land. They had people living in the houses. Everything was going. And he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, you can go back to all sorts of gods, but you know what? There's only one real God.
Yes. Amen.
If you're worshiping something besides the real God, you're worshiping a devil, or you're worshiping a figment of your imagination. It amazes me that that big statue of Peter has the big toe off by kisses. Marble statue in Rome, and the big toe of the statue of Peter is worn down, and they didn't do it with a chisel. They did it with kisses. Well, I'll stop there. Choose you this day. You've got a choice.
Yes.
Wow. And you know, I think about that choice. How many Bibles are there out there? That's the most published book in the world. And for years. You know what? If you don't read it, you deserve to have the problems of it. It's there for you to read. I know you got a lot of other things to watch and a lot of other things to read, but that Bible was put there for you to read, for you to understand and to seek God and to find God. And Joshua said, well, I don't know what you guys are going to do. You got a choice to make. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I made a choice. My choice is I'm going to walk with the Lord as long as I can.
Amen.
I'm going to praise the Lord and I'm going to thank the Lord as long as I can.
Amen.
I think I've had a lot more mercy and grace than ever troubles. And all of us have troubles.
Yes.
And yet, bless your heart, mine have been simple. I don't know how I got to be 86, but I'm here.
Amen.
And you know what? It was the grace of God.
Amen.
It wasn't my intelligence. It wasn't my making all the right decisions. How about yourself?
Yeah.
You're where you are today by the grace of God.
Amen.
And so why don't you choose this day to serve the Lord?
Amen.
And then, by the way, while you're talking about it, why don't you make a choice for your house?
Amen.
I'll tell you some of my stories, and I know they get old, but you won't have to hear them too much longer. I was the baby of both families, between my husband, my mother and my father. And I didn't ever babysit any babies. I don't know why anybody would have given me that opportunity, but at least I knew nothing about babies. And then I got married Verlene right out of high school. I had some other plans that could have been done, but I decided I wanted to get married to Verlene. And I don't think that was a mistake. I think that was one of the best moves I ever made. I did not want to hold my own children in my hands when they couldn't move, they couldn't control that in the head. It hurt me. I thought, wow. Well, I went to church and a preacher had been plowing with my heifer. Actually, I thought he had to have been talking to her the way he pinned me. I was in the church, 500 people in attendance. And I'm sitting over there where David is, way back at the back around a bunch of people. And that preacher just nailed my hide all hour long. I got up and went down there and got made a move towards the church. Went home that night. I'm singing songs. Now, Verlene, in case you didn't know, she liked to go to bed at 9. She got up at 4:30 every morning, but she liked to go to bed at 9. And she said, if you're going to sing all night in bed, Lindell, why don't you go in the other room? Let me get some sleep. So I walk in the front bedroom of my trailer house, and there's old Eddie Boy. He's like 7 days being a year old. Now, all of a sudden, I've got this kid, and I've had him for a year, and I love him, and I feel like a father. Wow. And I looked at him. As I looked at him, I thought about that kid. I said, what's he going to be like? I'm a father. Have you daddies thought about your kids? They're going to take some things from you. They're going to take up some habits from you. They're going to speak some words that you'll teach them. Wow. But I began to look at that kid, and I had Billy was, Verlene was pregnant with Billy way out. He was 13 months apart. I was going to be a daddy of two. I wasn't ready to be the daddy of one. And I knew that I wasn't that spiritual or that good or whatever. Now, I had a good daddy. I've told you this many, many times. We didn't drink. There was no wine or beer or alcohol inside the house. Not at all. My daddy didn't cuss. He didn't run around. He wasn't running around on my mother. My mother wasn't running around on my daddy. They weren't a social group. They were a family group. And the thought that really struck me with conviction was, as I looked down at Eddie there, it's middle of the night, I thought about my daddy who didn't cuss or drink or fight or run around or whatever. And I thought about me. I cussed about every other word I spoke. I drank socially. I wasn't a fit person to be a daddy. And I got to thinking, if my daddy raised me as he raised me and had the house that he has, and I turned out the way I am, what's that boy going to be like? If he turns out to me the same way I turned out to my dad, he's going to be the devil himself. And I got another one coming in a month or so. It brought tremendous conviction to me. All of a sudden, I really felt myself a sinner. And I began to pray, and I prayed for about 2.5 hours. I didn't know enough to say, God, forgive me all of my sins. I started naming them off and asking for forgiveness. And I prayed that long prayer, and man, praise God, I got saved. Amen. And surrendered to preach, and I was 20 years old. As for me and my house, well, that was part of the reason why I got saved. I was thinking about me and my house. My two houses, my two boys were going to come along. Three girls are going to come along. I got a big family. I love them. Wonderful family. You know something? It worried me that I was going to be a daddy and be responsible for what these boys were going to do in their life or these girls were going to do in their life. Do you realize that? You realize how important you are to your kids? You're so important you ought to pay more attention to it. As Stephen was preaching this morning and bringing about a lot of good examples. Wow. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Why don't you take some things out of your house that offend? Amen. Why don't you put some things in your house that would be a blessing?
Amen.
Why don't you teach your children to say no, and what you need to teach your children is to obey you when you say no.
Amen.
Wow, I've seen some kids, they don't know what the word means. And they don't obey mama or daddy. You need to have control. Your house is important. It's where a lot of love is there, or there's a lot of fighting there, or there's a lot of problems there, or there's a lot of help there. Your house is important, and I feel for it. I see it on television every week. These poor people who have no homes and have no house or have nobody that wants them. It's a sad, sad life without the blessings of a house, a family. And Joshua's making a big decision here. And he said, you can make your own choices any way you want to. Choose whichever gods you think you want to serve. I know the God I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve Jehovah God. I'm going to serve the great I am.
Amen.
I used to think that was a real hard problem for Moses when he went into Egypt and he had to say, what's the name of your God? I am. But you know, after I've read this Bible as many times as I have, he is.
Amen.
Whatever you need, that's what he is. He's got everything for you. And you know what? He's got a salvation for you.
Amen.
Bless your hearts. If you're here and you're not saved, most of you I know confess the Lord. But if you happen to be here and you happen to be listening, he's all you need.
Amen.
You think you need something? He's it. And he's been in for everything that you possibly need, and he's going to be that way for all eternity.
Yes.
And you know what he did? He loved you. I don't know why. I don't even like you. I'm lying. The honest truth is God loved you.
Thank you, Lord.
Did he bring you to a place in your life where you recognized you were going on the wrong path now?
Amen.
And you needed to turn around and go on the right path?
Amen.
Well, praise God, that right path is there and it's there for you today. Me and my house.
Amen.
Well, bless your heart. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, you don't know my opinion. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Now you made in your house clear choices for your kids. You should have. Some of the things Stephen was talking about, you shouldn't be watching some things on your television.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
You shouldn't have some big books in your house. You shouldn't be doing some things, and there shouldn't be a lot of alcohol or whatever around. It's an amazing thing. How about giving your kids a choice? Give them the opportunity to see somebody that loves the Lord and is faithful to the Lord and believes the Word of God. That would be a good help. Because they're not going to find much of it out there in the world, and they're not going to find it when they get to college, and they're not going to find it a lot of other places.
Right.
Why don't you give them a choice in your house? Where your house was a place of blessing. Where your house was a place of prayer. Where your house was a place of faithfulness. How about your word being good? How about your actions? I was with a friend of mine when I was a teenager. I was in his house and he picked at his nose and his mother just slapped him. Pow! I mean, it was a hard slap. He was 12, 13 years old. I was shocked. I was never slapped by my mother, my father, even my sister. Wow, what an insult. And me standing there looking on. And I thought, ooh, what kind of house is this? Because it wasn't like my house. I had a house full of love. How about building a house full of love? I had a house where people help people. How about building a house where there's help there? How about building a house where there's kindness? I remember later on in life as my folks got old, Verlene and I were sitting in the living room one time and she just commented to me, said, Lyndall, do you see how kind they are to one another? Beautiful. It was beautiful. Why not spread a little kindness?
Yes, amen.
It's your house.
Yes.
Me and my house. That's the closest unit. And I look out here at this world And bless your heart, there's an awful lot of people don't have a good home. Look at Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. I think I'm going to have a little interesting thought. Hope so. The word which came, Jeremiah 35:1, the word which came unto Jeremiah the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of the Rechabites. Have you read about the Rechabites lately? Go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord unto one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jehazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Logdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, and the Shalom, and keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine, cups, and said unto them, drink ye wine. Look at verse 6. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. I don't know how many years this has been going on, but it's been going on for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Wow. We will drink no wine. Verse 6, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house. You're going to live in tents. Nor sow seed, nor plant a vineyard. You're not going to drink wine, and you're not going to plant a vineyard to produce more. Nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Can you think about a decision like that? Wow. I wonder, did they have drunks in those days? I believe as long as there's been wine and beer and other sports stuff, there have been drunks. Have you seen what the damage a drunk can do to his family? Wow. My daddy didn't drink, but my uncles did. And one of my uncles had a habit of coming by and visiting us. And generally when he came by, he was drunk. And my daddy and him, I never saw jeans on either one of them, but they wore khakis. And my uncle would come in and he'd be drunk, about half drunk. And he would have a fifth in his pants. And daddy would sit him down on the couch and treat him like a fine guest. And before long, why, he'd be sleeping. Daddy'd pick him up, put him down, lay down on the couch, cover him over, take the bottle out, go into the kitchen, pour it out down to the sink, put it in the trash. The trash man probably thought my dad was a drunk. And the next morning, my uncle'd be up and go, and they had no problem. He was divorced, my uncle, this uncle that I was talking about. He had a son just about my same age, and we were good friends until he, I guess he's finally passed on because I haven't heard from him lately. But he had a beautiful wife, and he had a wonderful son. But alcohol messed him up.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was wine or beer or liquor or drugs. You see, most of my cousins, fought World War II. I was too young. My dad was too old, but a lot of my cousins were right in the middle of it, and boy, all of them, many of them came back. They were hooked on alcohol. They were hooked on drugs. They were hooked on a lot of things. There were divorces, a lot of problems, sad, sad, sad stories. You reckon it was like that in the days of Jonadab? I think it must have been. You know, for a leader of a tribe to come down with a strong decision and say, I don't want anybody in our tribe drinking. Wow. And for them to obey him. I can just hear some of the kids I grew up with, what do you mean? That's why our privilege is. Boy, we get big, we get grown, we can do as we please. The people of the tribe of the Rechabites obeyed the command of their father. They even did it when it come to living in a house or a tent. Now, I don't know what the value of that is. Some of the Arabs that still live in tents over there probably have values, and they could probably express them and explain them. But neither shall you build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant a vineyard, nor have any. And all your days you shall dwell in tents, and may live many days in the land wherein be your strangers. And we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses. Wow. Verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Go and tell the men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? God is using this as a preaching sample for his prophets to go to the people of God who would not obey the word of God. God had a complaint. He got a complaint against his people. They were not faithful to him. They did not live up to his statutes. Are you faithful in any way? Do you have any rules in your house? Do you have anything that sets your house apart? You know what you ought to do? You ought to be a house where God is set apart.
Yeah.
You ought to be a house where the Word of God is honored. And where you read it. And not just, okay, I'll read my 6 verses for today or my 1 chapter for today. How about studying it to find out what God wants out of your life?
Amen.
Wow, let the Holy Spirit. You know what the you preach this word. You know what happens? The Holy Spirit of God goes everywhere this word goes. You preach this word, the Holy Spirit's going to touch somebody's heart with it.
Yes.
You may not be the best preacher in town. You may use a lot of failure. But let me tell you something. Where the Word of God goes, the Holy Spirit goes and brings conviction.
Yes.
And you can be amazed at how some of the different incidents that have been around. Somebody pick up a track on the grounds and go into a place where that track was put out and get saved. Somebody take the track off of the door, put it aside, and 4 years later walk into this church and get saved. Have their life changed completely. Wow. You ought to have enough confidence in God Almighty that you want to put the word out.
Yes.
Now let me say, if like Jonadab, I just got to, I've been thinking about this for a week. And I've gone over it several different ways. I wonder if there were so many drunks around that it really impressed him. And he said, I don't want my family to be up with this. Now let me tell you a thing or two about drunks. You can't predict who's going to become a drunk. They would like to. They run tests all the time. They're trying. So they can predict so and so. Well, they can predict a percentage. of people who are social drinkers, and some of you may be, a certain percentage will become deadbeat alcoholics. They're going to have divorces. They're going to have abused kids. They're going to have poverty. And they'll be living on the streets. We've got thousands of them living on the streets right here in San Antonio. We got them living on the streets right out here, right out in this bush country right next to us. I wonder if Jonadab, as he looked at his family and he looked at his tribe, thought, which ones are going to be alcoholic? Which ones are going to be drunks? And I think about that to myself. And I thought, I got 5 kids. I got 15 grandkids by blood and about that many more by marriage. And I got a bunch of great-grandkids. For me to think about one of them being a deadbeat alcoholic, off from the home, sleeping on the street somewhere, or dying of starvation, or being put up on with no protection, that'd break my heart. Have you thought about it? Because I tell you, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And Jonadab did something about it. Now, maybe you can't do what Jonadab did. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can keep it out of your house.
Amen.
You can keep it out of your house. You don't have to have wine. You don't have to have liquor. You don't have to have beer.
Amen.
Most of the beer that I ever drank, I thought they ought to pour it back into the horse. It's not that great a thing. You know something? You need to make decisions to make your house a safe haven. You need to make decisions and make your kids know that you love them. You need to make decisions that have to be followed. Jonadab did something that God Almighty said, hey, Jeremiah, go to the house of Israel and tell them what the people of Jonadab have done and what in the world are they doing with me and my word. You know what I believe? I do believe this is the word of God.
Amen.
I believe it is the most valuable thing that I've ever read.
Yeah.
I believe that it's the word of God that we'll have in heaven. And I'm not looking for Greek and Hebrew. I'm not looking for what Dr. Professor up at Potomac University has to say. I couldn't care less. I got it right in my house. I've got it where I can read it in the morning or read it at night. I can memorize it. I can remember it. Wow. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you clear on these things? Is your house clear on these things? Make sure your house is clear. Make sure there's the Word of God is there. Make sure you're faithful somewhere. Make sure your kids know what you believe, that you really believe it, not just profess it. God says, I'm upset. You obeyed the command of Jonadab, your father, and boy, here's what he says about that. Therefore say the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever.
Yeah.
How about that for a testimony? How about that for a heritage of a family and a man? I'm not sure that you would like everything that he would do, and I certainly never liked everybody else doing anything for me. But you know what? Me and my house, they count. Which one would I pick? Eddie, Billy, Linda, Dara, Susanna. Which one would I pick to be the alcoholic? Which one would be easier on me to be the alcoholic? None of them. None of them. When you look at it like that and you realize that if I'm going to continue drinking in this house, I'm going to continue with the drugs and other things like that, you're going to have that in your family. It's going to be your son. It's going to be your daughter. It's going to be your grandchild. It's going to be your problem. And if you don't make some decisions about your family, they're going to go wrong. How about seeking and putting the Lord first into your house? How about taking the Word of God and obeying it and honoring God because of it? How about a little bit of repentance of your sins? That you're not living the life that you ought to live or the testimony you ought to be. Do some repenting. Do some returning. Do some asking God for forgiveness. And clean up your life. You know something? I've got a wonderful Savior. Isaiah 55, 6, some of my favorite verses. Seek you the Lord. That's the message today, seek you the Lord.
Amen.
While he may be found, he may be found today.
Yeah.
Call upon him while he's near.
Yeah.
The Word of God's here, the Word of God's been preached. There's a gathering of Christians that are praying. Call upon him when he's near.
Yeah.
Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy.
Yes.
He had mercy on me. He'll have mercy on you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
He had mercy on Brother Spurgeon,
yes.
Thug. Motorcycle thug. He had mercy upon him. He's been preaching the gospel 30 years. He'll have mercy on you. Why don't you make a decision to seek God and seek him with all your heart and get things right and put your house in order?
Amen.
Amen or oh me.
Amen.
As to the Savior, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, one mediator, not two, not three. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the one you go see.
Yeah, amen.
That's the one you go see. You go to God and you plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You go to God and plead the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Go to God and pray for those children and those grandchildren and those great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
Ask God to have mercy on your family that you don't have an alcoholic.
Amen.
You don't have a person living in the bushes out here. They're out there. It's a massive problem in the whole world. And one of the biggest problems and causes of it is alcoholism and drugs. Pray God to build a strong family. Pray God to point your family towards Jesus.
Yes.
Towards the Word of God, towards eternity, towards spiritual things. Thank God for how much mercy he will have. You know, I love thy salvation. It's a gift. Bless your heart. It's a wonderful gift. It's not a reward. He's not rewarding people with heaven. He gives it as a free gift. If you don't have it today, all you got to do is ask. Believe the message that he gave and ask him to forgive you all your sins. Ask him to change your life. Ask him to turn some things around. God bless you.